morning. This is Mark Thompson from Penguin Random House, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for April 23rd, 2019. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Chip, I know, it was a week ago now that Star Wars Celebration ended. I am still riding high on the fun time that I had for 4 days at McCormick Place with all of our Star Wars friends.
Well, Steve, I'm just loading up on, you know, leftover Easter candy. I mean, I heard it's for sale right now.
It's kind of a ham sandwich kind of a day.
It is.
Like, hey, do we have any ham left? Yes, we have ham left. You can have ham sandwiches all week.
That's right. Tomorrow we'll have something else with ham.
Yeah.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Did you have a good week with movies. You got to see three intellectual level thinking man's movies. The first one is the movie Us, which I still haven't seen, so you still can't spoil me on this movie. Tell me all about Us without telling me anything.
All right, so Us was directed by Jordan Peele,
mm-hmm.
and Jordan Peele did Get Out last year, which was a wonderful movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so Us is the story of a family that has a secret, Steve.
Oh.
There's a secret. And this is kind of a Twilight Zone type of a movie.
Because that's what Jordan Peele's been giving us the last few years. Between Get Out and the renewal, the new Twilight Zone that he's involved with, this is where he shines.
Absolutely. And this has a nice twist to it. And if you like M. Night Shyamalan movies, then yes, you'll say, oh, this is wonderful.
Uh-huh.
If you like the Twilight Zone, you go, oh, this is wonderful. And I really can't comment on the story too much because
right.
part of it is experiencing the story.
Mm-hmm.
But you will end this movie and you'll need to go to the internet and kind of search around, like, what really happened?
What did
there?
I just see?
Okay. And so it's you can catch some of it, but
uh-huh.
but the deal is there's a depth there that you can enjoy. This has got a wonderful cast,
mm-hmm.
and I think Jordan Peele, what he has determined, and I think it shows in the casting choices, that the American culture is now a culture.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the British culture are a culture, and the French culture is a culture, and Italy is Italy.
And Australia.
Australia.
That is definitely a culture.
But the American culture is on display, and I think he gets the paranoia of it really, really well, and this is a fun little story.
Okay, so you do recommend this movie. Is it scary? Is it a horror movie like the trailer makes it look?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it a scary movie? It's not a horror film, but yes, it's a thriller.
Okay.
And so, you just go into it knowing that there is a Twilight Zone story going on.
Would you recommend it for my 13-year-old?
13-year-old? Possibly.
Possibly, but maybe.
But, you know, if they saw Stephen King's It, then that is more of a horror film. And I would say that is a horror film, and this is a thriller, and maybe the same type of audience.
Okay.
There's some scary elements to it,
mm-hmm.
and if you have a young, sensitive child, then certainly not good for that. And if you are a person who doesn't like horror films, then, you know, this might be a little bit too much. But
you don't like horror films, and you like this movie because it's not a horror movie.
Well, I looked at it like a Twilight Zone.
It is basically a Twilight Zone episode. So that brings me to my big question here. Would this have been a better story on TV, a 30-minute short story instead of a full-length theatrical film?
No, this is a movie.
Okay.
This is, and I think what if you took Get Out and Us, and I'm assuming there's going to be another one next time, you know, he's certainly has tapped in
mm-hmm.
to the American psyche.
Yeah.
He certainly has stretched a little bit of how we look at ourselves in today's society.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jordan Peele has absolutely captured a lot there. You can see your family there. Mm. You could see how something that would be very disturbing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot think of a better sandbox to play if you were an actor than playing some of this stuff. So this is a beautiful cast. I think you would go, oh my goodness, how much fun they must have had.
Awesome. I look forward to seeing that one. I will get to it at one point sometime in the future. You got to see On the Basis of Sex. This is the fictionalization of the true story of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Well, rebellions were built on hope, Steve. This stars that lady from the when they stole the Death Star plans.
This is Felicity Jones is the name of the actress who played Jyn Erso in the Rogue One movie, and now she's playing another hero.
I thought they all died at the end, Steve. But anyway, she must have been resurrected, maybe as a Force ghost.
Right.
And then she, of course, is going to play Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is a fun movie. This is another movie that I would recommend, too.
Okay.
What I would say most enjoyable about it is you can see just how bright she is. Her husband is a bright person
mm-hmm.
who is a very capable lawyer, and she's just on this different level. So I can definitely see why Anthony Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And while they may have differ a little bit, maybe where the law comes in, you could, you know, when you are a bright person and you've been put in that position, it's nice to have another person you could banter with.
Right.
And I see where the friendship, I would assume that many of the Supreme Court justices have a lovely reverence for each other and a playfulness of working with each other.
Beautiful.
You know, there's not that many of them. And this is her story. What I took most from this is my daughter, who was 17 years old, mm-hmm. requested to watch this.
Wow.
So
that says a lot.
Well, I mean, she's sort of at that time.
And this is an important story for our culture.
But I don't think she recognizes that how important it was. I mean, because this is my mom's generation.
Yeah.
This is your mom's generation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where many moms were moving, not just because they wanted to. And this is the rise of Century 21, where they were wearing the yellow jackets.
Mm-hmm.
This is the rise of where women could come in and work in these companies, not as a secretary, but they could actually lead them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, while it may have happened historically, you know, it was sort of the exception rather than the rule. And you know, this was the rise of the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment time, and women sort of wanting to have the same as any other person
right.
would have. So I really think that my daughter just was ignorant or underappreciated
mm-hmm.
sort of that time frame. And Ginsburg's rise was perfect. It's a perfect palette to tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
And so my response to her is, I said, you should probably talk to your grandmother
yeah.
about what she was going through at that time. Because once again, that was the time where she has become a mom. And she's, my mother was going to college. And she was doing things and in a different way from the previous generation of the June Cleavers of the world, which, you know, God bless them. It's just society has marched on.
Culture has changed, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg was one of the forces of that change.
And getting back to sort of what the president, I don't know if they were very clear on what was really going on there. So Scalia is considered typically more of a conservative Supreme Court justice
mm-hmm.
before he passed away. And the thought is that laws were written, and certainly I'm painting with a broad stroke, so just go with me. Laws were written. They were written for a reason. Legislative branch makes laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so original intent becomes very important. Ginsburg is arguing a little differently. And once again, broad strokes. Is what I'm saying. She's basically saying that, listen, when things were written, society was at one place, and society is at a different place today. And so those laws that were written, the definitions could change. Now, that is an intellectual argument on a very high level,
mm-hmm.
because you can extrapolate where that could go. I mean, you could take it into good areas, and you could take it into bad areas. And this type of banter leads you, or should lead you, to really appreciate the level of intellect that has to serve on the Supreme Court justice, mm-hmm. as a Supreme Court justice. And my hope is that you could leave there, just recognize that you don't have to agree 100% with any person. But what you could do is just respect them for having those arguments on that level, those discussions on that level. Mm-hmm. And they were put in those positions, and they are unique and special people. So while certainly human and fallible, like all of us are, I left this going, wow, she's a pretty amazing person.
She is a pretty amazing person. You have not seen the documentary version of her story, RBG.
No.
That is a really powerful look at what she really does. This fictionalization, I'm sure, paints a great picture, but it's still a fictionalization. Having footage of her at work, the number of hours that she puts in after hours to study this law to make sure it's the best it can possibly be, that's dedication on a level that is superior to so many people's work habits.
And her ability to stare down a TIE fighter when it comes up right in the face.
Those are two different people.
Are you sure? I think it's the same person, Steve.
That wasn't in the movie anyway, right? That was just in the trailer.
That was in the trailer, Steve.
I'm glad that you enjoyed this. I have not seen this one. I was laying off the fictionalization because I love the documentary so much. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a superhero in a lot of ways, and I'm glad that you enjoyed this one. You also got to see the award-winning Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. This is the 2017 Oscar nominee. It did not win Best Picture, but it did win Best Actor and Best Actress on the awards in 2017.
And, you know, all those awards that this movie won,
mm-hmm.
well-deserved.
Okay.
So this is a very good film also.
Okay, tell me the story of this one again.
Well, the story is that there is a person who felt that there was a wrong. If I tell too much, I give away the story. Just remember, a person was wronged,
mm-hmm.
and so they bought three billboards and basically pointed it out at the police department.
Okay.
This movie does not paint the police department very sympathetically.
Okay.
The person that Sam Rockwell plays, Guy,
uh-huh.
Ends up doing something. It's Guy from Galaxy Quest.
It's not Guy from Galaxy Quest.
Are you sure? It looks like the same guy. Anyway.
He has no last name.
Ends up doing something that is as heinous.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly out of the scope of the police department. And ultimately gets fired for it. There you go. Spoiler. But what it does do is paint the complexity of trying to solve a crime, mm-hmm. with everything else going on in the world. Because Woody Harrelson is our chief of the police department. And he's got things going on in his personal life, along with trying to solve this, along with trying to run a department, along with trying to meet all the expectations of his employer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things are going on. So he has a very full life. And guess where this, by the way, it just reminded me, it takes place on Easter. Like, he goes, well, you interrupted me on my Easter dinner.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go.
Happy Easter.
I watched this over Easter break. But what I can say is that with all that going on, that doesn't mean that the person who was impacted by the crime isn't suffering.
Right.
Isn't looking at things going, why are things not moving more quickly? And then, you know, they all make decisions. Ultimately, you're going to go on this journey, and there are bad things that happen. There are things that you're looking at, vigilante stuff, and you're going, oh, that looks kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a story, and where it ends is the story is beginning. So my point being is that they don't wrap this up at the end and say, okay,
here's the answer to the narrative.
You are left to come to your own conclusion where this is going. And I'm not giving you away on that. There's just no bow at the end where everything kind of comes together in mm-hmm. the Scooby-Doo moment.
Right.
This is a great thinking film.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of these films are different, but all three of these films are not superhero films. So there you go.
So if you want
to be a thinking person and you want to be able to talk about thinking movies, I think you'll enjoy each of these.
And a little bit of study of culture in each of those, where the culture of the lifestyle of Ebbing, Missouri is different from the culture of the lifestyle of the Supreme Court justices.
It is.
A very interesting study in who we are. I had a very interesting cultural weekend this weekend as well. I got to see the 40th anniversary presentation of The Life of Brian, the Monty Python movie about faith and religion, and poking a little bit of fun at those ideas.
So they resurrected this film after 40 years, Steve?
Good timing. The 40th anniversary of this movie, we gathered together in movie theaters across the country. My theater was full. There was not an empty seat in the house. This movie resonates to this day. There's a lot of fans of Monty Python, and The Life of Brian is a great idea in looking at things in our culture and changing it just enough to make fun of it, but still leaving reverence to it.
So here's the beauty of it, is that there was a huge celebration. Uh-huh. It's a packed house.
Yeah.
And they had swag there for you, Steve.
Yeah, they handed out an envelope with a poster of the movie and some stickers and a fake paper beard. So you can wear it here. Have this fake paper beard. You can wear that. My favorite sticker, of course, is "Blessed are the cheesemakers." That's my Passover sticker for this year.
Beards are dirty, Steve. I don't know if you saw the beards are dirty.
Yeah, that's all right. This movie is great. Even 40 years on, I recommend that you go to Netflix and watch it right now. Don't forget, all the Monty Python is all collected together on Netflix for you.
Wow, so you can watch the Life of Brian today. Yeah,
yes, you can. You can go see Life of Brian or my even more favorite Monty Python movie, The Holy Grail. Everything's on Netflix for you. You don't have to go to the movie theater. But there's something about gathering together as a group of people to watch a movie together that's different from watching it at home by yourself.
Well, that should say something to bookstores. Maybe they should learn that.
I also got a chance to see the 23rd anniversary of the Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie, which was, they were riffing on This Island Earth, the sci-fi classic, This Island Earth. That came out 23 years ago in 1996 and changed my life.
So you have a story, Steve, about Steve.
Yes, I've told this story a couple of times before, but it's changed now because of some interesting connections in our fandom.
As James Burke would kind of point out, there are connections in universe.
23 years ago, 1996, my friend Steve, who's not me, but my friend Steve said, "Hey, you need to come with me to the movie theater to watch this thing called Mystery Science Theater 3000. I said, "What's that? I don't have any idea what this is."
So Steve likes Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Uh-huh.
And invited Steve, who also has learned that he liked Mystery Science Theater. So we have Steve and Steve like Mystery Science Theater.
And at the time, Steve and Steve were both dating Heather and Heather. So it was a very confusing time in 1996, kids.
That'll never work, Steve.
So we went to this movie, and I fell in love with Mystery Science Theater, and I just have lived a life because of this movie ever since.
And we've learned that this guy from down in front called Michael Albright also likes Mystery Science Theater, and he was also there, Steve.
And he was friends with other Steve's new wife, and they were doing some watching of old crummy movies in 1996. While I was watching movies with Steve, he was watching movies with Melissa. Steve and Melissa got married last weekend, and Michael and I were both there, and worlds collided.
And you did. And so the world did not explode at that point.
Well, I don't think so, unless we're living in the Matrix.
This could be the Matrix. We never know, Steve. We'll have to call Elon Musk and ask if we're living in the Matrix.
Yes.
And see where that goes.
But Mystery Science Theater certainly has changed my life. And Michael Albright, who's from down in front, the Chicago movie riffing group, it's certainly been an influence on his life as well. So happy anniversary.
And we should probably point out that if you like live riffing, down in front, Chicago has a group of people who do live riffing, and they have, seems like maybe every month they end up having a different movie that they are enjoying.
Question mark?
That's right.
Yeah, you can go to downinfrontlive.com to find their schedule and catch a movie with these guys. They are so much fun. Riffing on movies is building that culture that we are sitting together, maybe hating this movie together, maybe loving this movie together, but finding a way to communicate with each other.
Which probably brings us to our opening movies for this week, Steve.
Speaking of movies that we are going to go together and
enjoy. There'll be a few people. Few people going to see this movie.
Oh boy. This week we are finally going to get the end of the story. Avengers Endgame opens on Friday, and of course I have tickets for Thursday, so I will be watching this on Thursday, and we're going to do our live panel on Saturday morning, so be prepared for some spoilery talk on Saturday.
And so that we know, I'll be driving during that time. From Chicago to an unnamed place in North Carolina. And what that means is I'll be stopping along the way to probably have a break and sit down and watch a movie.
Because that's what you'll need to do in the break of your driving is sit down for a while.
Exactly. Sit down for a while.
But that does speak to your personality and to the size of this film. You are willing to stop your driving to watch this movie. I don't think there's many movies that you would stop and watch on the way to North Carolina.
Oh, absolutely not. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Will it be Greensboro? I don't know. Is it Winston-Salem? I don't know.
But
is it
multiple choice?
It could be Raleigh. You never know where I'm going to stop and watch this film.
There you go.
But the joy of this is that this place is going to be packed. I was looking at our local theater, and they have the 6 o'clock show, the 6:05 show, the 6:15 show, the 6:25 show, the 6:30 show.
Yep.
And it's like, this thing is playing every 5 to 10 minutes.
This is huge. Anytime that you can be a part of a premiere like this, it is such an experience. It's so different from a little movie that's opening in one theater.
It's like Star Wars Celebration, but Steve, with other characters.
Now, here's the question that people have been asking me at Star Wars Celebration. Are we going to see Marvel Cinematic Universe Celebration 20 years from now? Are there going to be gatherings like Star Wars Celebration? The mythology of this story, is it going to carry to the next generation like Star Wars has?
Well, when Jack Kirby was drawing these stories back in the 1960s, so they created Fantastic Four, and they created the Hulk, and they created what would be the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
He felt he was doing pop art. He felt it was way beyond. He was creating a mythology. He had a true love for, you know, the Greek myths and the Norse myths and all the great mythologies of the world. He was drawing on this, and he was saying, well, we're creating, you know, a mythology of our own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Stan Lee basically left writing comics, went to California, and spent, you know, maybe the late 70s onward trying to sell these characters. And, you know, you get some cartoons here and there. But technology eventually caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And this independent film that was Iron Man with this actor who had a name but certainly was not the high name he is now,
right.
Robert Downey Jr., they've created Iron Man, and they've created this. Well, I mean, this is going to be $1 billion opening. This is going to be massive.
This might be a $2 billion movie by the end. This might be bigger than Titanic on that list of all-time box office gross.
Well, and that's in today's dollars. It's going to be really hard if they kind of inflation adjusted Wizard of Oz. But on that level,
right.
This should just say this is massive.
Yes.
This is the reason why Disney ended up buying Marvel for these characters. And the story is epic enough, sort of as a make believe story, that there's just a lot of interest. I can tell you when the Avengers came out. And there are young people who were crying because Peter Parker died.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man died.
Spoilers.
the movie that kind of built this up.
Right.
So, yes, this is, in my opinion, this may be what Harry Potter was to the millennials.
Mm-hmm.
This may have been what Star Wars was to, you know, our generation when we were young. This is certainly just a cultural sort of enjoyment.
Yep.
And if you're a person, my favorite is my professor, friend who's a professor over at Boston University, is going, I can say that I've never seen a Star Wars film and never watched Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's certainly nice. I mean, no one has to go through life and enjoy that. But on that same note, what a terrible thing in
what
the
a
sense
judgmental
that,
thing to say.
Well, the idea that you share. Why do you read bestsellers?
Right.
Because if you are around some people and you talk about a bestseller, there's chances other people have read it too. Why do you watch cultural Touchstone films. Mm-hmm. And certainly maybe this is not your cup of tea.
Right.
But, you know, when you're kind of joking around with a young person and say, don't be a Thanos.
Right.
There is a there's certainly a way of connecting with someone, and everyone knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's a snap.
Okay. Steve, not everyone is going to go see the Avengers film.
Oh, yeah,
and so who are the sacrifices that they will put against this film?
There are other films opening this week. The first one is called Dreamland. This is produced and starring Margot Robbie. It's the story of a teenager's adventures as a bounty hunter. We all love stories about bounty hunters. And Margot Robbie as a teenage bounty hunter, one please. But well,
Margot Robbie is always a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
And so she certainly is one of the A-list people
so
right now.
That movie exists, but we can't even find a trailer for it. That's how small a production this is.
Well, that should say that it is a sacrifice against the Avengers movie.
Uh-huh.
Steve, are there any other sacrifices?
The other one is a very interesting, intriguing story called J.T. Leroy. This is the fictionalization of a true story of an author who used a pen name, and she decided that her pen name would be a male character, J.T. Leroy.
James Tiberius Leroy.
Even worse than that, it's Jeremiah Terminator Leroy. And she published under this name, and she
just showed up naked someplace. And then all of a sudden they had to go.
Come with me if you want to live.
Exactly.
The author here, she decided to go a step further, and she hired an actress to play this character of J.T. Leroy and to be in the cultural scene in California. For 6 years, there was this guy named J.T. Leroy, who was actually a woman, who was not really the author of these books.
Now, of course, it stars that lady from the Totino's commercial.
You and your Saturday Night Live references. That's Kristen Stewart.
Who, do you have a name?
No, I don't. I don't have a name.
I don't have one. Kristen, that is a Stewart, wonderful, wonderful skit, by the way.
We'll put that in the show notes as well, again, because you love that one so much. Kristen Stewart from the Twilight movies, you know, that actress who just stares into the camera blankly. Have you watched those Twilight movies?
There's a lot of sparkles, Steve. Lots of sparkles.
I really recommend the Riff Trax version where when she's just staring into the camera, the boys go, line. Also, one of your favorite actresses, Laura Dern, is portraying the actual author in this movie as well.
And her ability to drive spaceships through like Death Stars, it's pretty amazing.
Or to drive to the Black Lodge, which is a Twin Peaks reference that you don't understand.
I don't even, what are you even talking about?
You don't even like Laura Dern. Just leave me alone. Also, Courtney Love is in this one because of course she is.
Of course she is, Steve. Anyway, so J.T. Leroy, James Tiberius Leroy, is out there. Another sacrifice.
I think it's going to be a good movie. I think this is going to be one that I would watch at home. This is one of those examples of I'm not going to go to the theater to watch this movie, but I am intrigued by this story, and I do want to see this one. Another example of that, don't forget the Riff Trax Live Octoman is being replayed tomorrow in your local theater. You can go to fathomevents.com and find your local theater to watch another Riff Trax movie. The reviews were not great on this one. A lot of people said that this movie was so bad, even the Riff Trax boys couldn't save it and make it fun. I didn't go to it the other day because I decided to go to The Life of Brian instead, because I put a poll on my Facebook page and I said, hey, everybody, which one should I choose, Monty Python or Riff Trax? And overwhelming majority of people said, you got to go watch Monty Python. So I did. So I hope to get to this one tomorrow. Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You know, we got a chance to meet some really great people at Star Wars Celebration.
We did, and the authors that we met were, one, fantastic.
Uh-huh.
So my favorite little story was when we ran into Claudia Gray.
Accidentally.
Oh, yeah. We accidentally got in a line to go and shake her hand and say hello to her. She is one of the author of many of the current Star Wars books.
And she's on the panel of the 5-star authors that are going to be presenting Project Luminos in 2020. The project that they can't tell us anything about. They've been teasing us with this for a week now. There's this thing that's Star Wars related, that's Jedi related, called Project Luminos, and they can't tell us anything about it.
Well, they're going to be a lot like Mark Hamill on Twitter, right? Just trolling us for a little while.
That's right. We also got a chance to talk to Liz Heineke and Cole Horton. They have a great book called Star Wars Maker Lab, 20 Craft and Science Projects.
And that was another part of the Star Wars celebration that we enjoyed a lot was, you know, authors sitting around and they're showing, you know, basically their love of the genre and how they can use it in elsewhere. So when they were showing us some of the crafts that they were making that were made from projects that you could make in this book.
And these crafts are definitely geared for kids. This is a kid's book, but I really enjoyed looking at the pictures. This is DK, the publisher. They are so good at photographing what they're showing us in a book. I enjoyed this book very much.
And STEM is something, science, technology,
engineering, and math.
And they are, it's something that's a focus, this way of branding it.
And if you add an A to it, that's the artistic part of it, then it becomes STEAM instead of STEM.
Well,
and
there you go.
That's exactly what we talked with to Liz and Cole all about.
All right, we're here at Star Wars Celebration, and we found a couple of authors who have put together a couple of Star Wars books. This is Star Wars Maker Lab, 20 Craft and Science Projects by Liz Heineke and Cole Horton.
What?
Hey.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Are you enjoying? I'm great. I'm beyond great. I am in my, I think I died because this must be heaven.
Pretty much.
How are you enjoying Star Wars Celebration so far?
Immensely. It's amazing. I'm having so much fun.
And Cole, are you having fun demonstrating all these, what is this, a brush that can make it look like it's a mouse droid from Star Wars, right?
That's right. Yeah, we've got a variety of experiments. Liz is the scientist. I'm the Star Wars expert, and we came together to, put this together. And so we're here showing them all off.
So tell us about the Star Wars Maker Lab and what students might be able to do with this book.
Okay, so kids who love Star Wars or don't love Star Wars can make these projects mostly with stuff they have around the house. And while they're having fun and being creative, they can also learn about the science behind how it works, and they can kind of learn to see science in the world all around them. So
is that a way to get kids interested in science, is by showing them science fiction stories and showing them the science behind that fiction?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what DK does as a publisher is about, like, bringing in reluctant readers. And, yeah, this is taking science and STEM and all that stuff that is so important right now and putting Star Wars on top of it to hopefully attract some new people.
What is STEM?
I'll answer that. Science, technology, engineering, and math. And this book brings the A, the art, into it because being creative is essential to doing science. You have to be willing to make mistakes. If something doesn't work, you try it again. You make it what you want to make it.
And using a book that has a lot of visual, cues to it, why is that important?
Well, I think for me, this is how we explain how this fits in the Star Wars universe, right?
Yeah.
But we also want to make sure you have all the tools you need as well. So there's templates in there, there's guides, there's actually different versions of most of these experiments.
Go ahead.
So there's 20, but we'll have different variations of them, for example. So there's Jabba slime in here. And we've got, of course, Jabba slime, which is green, but we've also got Gungan slime, which is blue. So there's different ways to do it, and kids kind of keep coming back to the book over and over.
And we also have step-by-step photographs of the illustrations of how to do things. So some kids are super visual and can look at a picture and do something. You know, kids now watch YouTube videos and do things. So it's a great way for all learners. Some kids prefer to read the directions. Some like to look at pictures. So they can look at it. Also, simple science explanations, but also for the visual kids, diagrams. So you can look at a picture of the tendons in someone's arm and compare it to how this Darth Vader hand works, where you're pulling, using strings to represent the tendons.
Because Darth Vader lost a hand and needed a replacement, so we need to find a way to manufacture something, and that's where the science, the technology, the engineering, and the math all come together. And there's a little bit of art mixed in there too. So where can we get this book?
Yeah, so Maker Lab is available pretty much everywhere books are sold. We're here, of course, at Star Wars Celebration, signing them for all the people that come by. But for those that aren't here, check it out online anywhere.
Yep, or in your favorite bricks and mortar location.
Oh, a bookstore. You could try to find a bookstore. That's good advice. Excellent. Cole Horton and Liz Heineke, thank you very much. Thank you for the Star Wars Maker Lab, 20 craft and science projects that you can build, experiment, create, and discover. How exciting. Thanks.
So that's great. Thank you to Liz Heineke and Cole Horton for talking to us at Star Wars Celebration. You can find their book, Star Wars Maker Lab 20 Craft and Science Projects, on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. There were so many people. There was so much fun.
This is at Star Wars Celebration.
At Star Wars Celebration.
This was a couple weeks ago.
I know. I keep talking about it. All right, I keep showing the pictures. I keep looking at all the other pictures from all the other people, and we still have these great conversations. This community has grown so much as a result of getting together.
I still love the Trek trolls. They're a lot of fun. The red shirts who were showing up everywhere.
Yes. The Star Trek red shirts that were walking around just with confused looks on their faces. We have some great pictures on our Instagram.
The sign that said it's okay to be Psy curious. It was pretty That was pretty funny.
There were some great people there.
Lots of cleverness. Anyway, we also got to go through a sort of a museum piece where a lot of people built models of the Star Wars droids. And, I mean, lots of R2-D2s. In fact, when you were walking in, there was a C-3PO that would move. Uh-huh. And it was kind of a robotic C-3PO.
We're in an age, we are in a time where robots are certainly right on the cusp of being a part of our daily lives. We have self-driving cars. We are going to see more and more robots in our homes.
And we've got enough people who have enjoyment and interest in these that allows them to go and play. They can make their own R2-D2 that looks like the one that is in the movie.
That's right.
And so, Steve, you got a chance to interview one.
That's right. I got a chance to talk to Jake Ebert, who's a high school student who's been building his own R2-D2 for the last 3 years. And boy, am I impressed by this young man and what he's able to do. Jake Ebert made himself an R2 unit. How long did this take you, Jake?
Right now, it's just been about 3 years so far.
And you're not done yet.
I am not done yet.
So why would you start this big project?
It's a lot of fun. And in the end, you get an R2 unit.
That's right. At the end, you get to drive
a life-size action figure.
Droid. Your action figure. Your life-size action figure. I like that. So tell us about your construction here. What is this made of?
This is made out of wood, aluminum, and then some 3D prints. So the frame is wood, the legs are wood, and then it's skinned out exteriorly in a aluminum, and then the dome is aluminum.
So do you have a 3D printer at the house now?
Yes, I have a fairly large 3D printer, 12 by 12 by 16 inches build. So anything that fits in that cube, I can print.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. And do you have a future in this? Is this your job that you're going to try to find somebody to pay you to build droids? Because we need more droids.
Yes. Well, that's my dream job. I'm planning on going to have a major in mechatronics, so robotics engineering.
Wow.
So how you make robotics, so not just for like Star Wars and R2 units, but like in warehouses and robotic arms, so real life purposes too.
Okay. So is that the future of work? Is these droids are going to take our jobs?
I think they won't be taking our jobs, but they'll be in addition to. So jobs will change, but the people just have to adapt. So they'll be doing the grunt work while other people have to do like a little bit easier jobs than having to sort through things or go in a warehouse and pick something out.
All the creative jobs. The robots can't take our creative jobs. So if we're creative enough to make our own life-size action figure in the garage, and if your mom and dad will let you get a 3D printer for this, then you've got a future in robotics, right?
Yes.
I already asked him that, Mom. Thanks for chiming in, though. That was good. So do you get some joy out of being here at Star Wars Celebration and seeing everybody interacting with your R2 unit?
Yes, it's a lot of fun, especially when you get to see everyone's reactions and everyone just lights up at the sight of an R2 unit.
That's right.
It's so iconic, and you've created your own. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Good job. So how about that, Chip?
That is the fun part about going to these types of events.
Uh-huh.
And so we encourage all of our listeners to find things in their area and go and explore the world, man.
And share. Share what you do. Share what you love. Be a part of this culture and grow into the future of what we're going to be doing with all of this.
There's summer's coming. You got to find something to spend with your summer.
Was that a Game of Thrones reference?
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of Phidias and Ferb, Steve.
Yes, our favorite time of the year. You can find some great, imagine making your own droid. Imagine making your own robot and then having that knowledge to carry on to build the next generation of whatever it is that's coming next.
Well, you got a whole summer, Steve.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think so. I want to thank our guests, Liz Heineke, Cole Horton, and Jake Ebert for sharing all of their knowledge with us this week. If you need more information, you can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker, your droid that lives in your house, to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future. What I want.